Jim Petrie, your host on Authentic News right here on RBN Live this 19th day of September 2024. Have we got the news for you? Department of Defense plans Eastern Europe nuclear strike simulation to prepare for potential collapse of the world's agricultural system. That's what they're saying. Believe me, simulations are frequently used as covers for real events. A program simulating the potential effect of a nuclear strike on worldwide agriculture is in the works at the Department of Defense, according to a procurement notice. The focus will be on areas beyond Eastern Europe and Western Russia. The notice about the project appeared on an official U.S. government website for contract opportunities, SAM.gov. Its description states, the minimum needs of this contract are that the contractor provide all personnel, equipment, facility, supervision, other items necessary to conduct studies that demonstrate modeling of nuclear warfare on a global scale that would lead to a destruction of the agriculture system, such as farms. The project will fall under the umbrella of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I still find that disturbing. Meanwhile, Ukrainian drone attack prompts partial evacuation of a Russian town. A partial evacuation has been ordered in Toropets, a town of 11,000 to the northeast of Moscow, where fragments of a drowned Ukrainian drone started a fire. Tver region governor Igor Rudevya said in the early hours Wednesday, local air defenses were activated to intercept the enemy unmanned aerial vehicle, adding the emergency services are responding to the blaze caused by falling drone fragments. Governors ordered partial evacuation of residents from the territory where the air defenses are active and responders are working to control the fire. So far, so good. Meanwhile, Russia strikes Ukraine's key signals facility, according to the Russian Defense Ministry. Russian forces have conducted a strike on Ukraine's key military communication facility, as well as a number of other high-priority targets, the Defense Ministry in Moscow has reported. In a statement on Thursday, that would be today, the ministry said that Russian warplanes, drones, missiles, and artillery had successfully hit the main center of the special radio communications of the main intelligence directorate of the armed forces of Ukraine, plus critical airfield infrastructure facilities. Officials did not say where the center was located nor comment on the extent of the damage. Believe me, the Russians are getting much more serious now. Such deep strikes as Ukraine has conducted has really antagonized Putin and his staff. They're not going to horse around. Meanwhile, and this is to me extremely disturbing, Sputnik reports Israel and U.S. behind two waves of blasts in Lebanon to divert attention from Gaza genocide, according to an expert. I'm not so sure, but it was such a blatant act of terrorism, I find it disgusting. After a massive pager detonation, Lebanon faced another wave of blasts on September 18th, today being the 19th. Earlier in the day, a Lebanese source told Sputnik that devices other than pagers had exploded in different parts of the country Wednesday. Lebanese Labor Minister Mustafa Bayram called the blasts a deliberate crime and a terrorist act by Israel in an interview with Sputnik, putting it mildly. Israel's primary objective is to deflect attention from its responsibility for the massacres and genocide occurring in Palestine and to shift the global public agenda. Mehmet Rakıpoğlu, a researcher with London-based think tank Dimensions for Strategic Studies, told Sputnik, referring to a new series of explosions in Lebanon. The second critical issue is related to Israel's intelligence failures on October 7th, except those weren't real. That was an event that was allowed to happen, where Israel took out many Jews itself to run up the numbers to have a pseudo justification for the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. This lapse created a significant weakness in Israeli intel capabilities. Through these attacks, assassination, and strikes against Hezbollah, Israel is aiming to restore its diminished intelligence reputation. Well, it may be restoring its intel reputation, but it's discrediting itself on moral grounds. This is absolutely disgusting. Here we have a piece about from Glenn Greenwald.
Ever since October 7th, I have interviewed all sorts of people, experts in the region, scholars and the like, journalists who cover the region as well. And one of the things that many, if not most of them, have repeatedly said is that one of the most dangerous risks of the Israeli war with Gaza, the all-out war with Gaza that is now spreading to the West Bank, is that there are a lot of people in Israel who don't just want war with the Gazans or the Palestinians, but also really want war with Hezbollah on their north. They have disputed territory that are part of the Golan Heights that they've had for a long time, which Lebanon claims, which the Israelis claim, which the Syrians claim. Israel has made brutal incursions into Lebanon and all sorts of bombing raids on Lebanon, including on Beirut, some really brutal and deadly ones. And Hezbollah sees itself as a defensive force to keep Israel out of Lebanon. They have been having all sorts of border skirmishes since the beginning of the war, with Hezbollah sending some rockets, by no means their most sophisticated or damaging ones, into northern Israel primarily, and then the Israelis sniping back. But increasingly over the last couple of weeks, with Benjamin Netanyahu's government seemingly falling apart and with increasing pressure on him to end the war and bring the hostages home, that's the war in Gaza, and with his obvious determination to continue the war as a way of staying in power and therefore out of prison, which he might be waiting him because of a corruption trial that he has been immune from while president, there's been a growing sense that Israel not only wants to provoke a war with Hezbollah, wants an all-out war with Hezbollah on its north, but also involve the United States in that war, which the United States has made very clear by deploying military assets to the region, by promising through Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton that it would do everything to defend Israel, including in a war of this kind. So if Israel does provoke Hezbollah successfully into a war with it, as many comments throughout this last week from the Israeli government and various officials have suggested they intend to do, that won't just involve a new front in the Israeli war in the north, and they have very exhausted reserves and fighters who have spent a year now in Gaza fighting often street to street against Hamas, which continues to flourish whenever the Israelis leave, but they would then open a front against the much more effective fighting force in Lebanon that is Hezbollah. And so it's hard to understand why this would be in Israel's interest other than because it's in the Netanyahu government's interest. But the Israelis carried out an attack today that was really unprecedented in terms of the way it was carried out, but also in terms of just the indiscriminate damage and casualties that took place. It was, you've got to give credit where due, quite ingenious, although we need to figure out exactly how it was carried out before we can give that kind of credit, but certainly it was a sophisticated operation, as I said, an unprecedented one. The Wall Street Journal earlier today explained it well in this headline, Hezbollah pagers explode in apparent attack across Lebanon. 8 people were killed and 2,750 wounded, the country's health minister said. Now, this is earlier today. Those numbers have been updated, as usually happens in cases like this. There's certainly more than 3,000 reported deaths. I've seen 4,000 from various people on the ground, journalists and the like, and hospitals. There's at least 4,000 casualties. That death number has gone up to at least 12, including a couple of children. So we'll see what the death toll and what the casualty toll actually ends up being once everything is sort of processed. But here's the Wall Street Journal's reporting. Quote, the affected pagers were from a new shipment that the group received in recent days, people familiar with the matter said. A Hezbollah official said many fighters had such devices, speculating that malware might have caused the devices to explode. The official said some people felt the pagers heat up and disposed of them before they burst. Hezbollah and the Lebanese government blamed Israel for the attack. Both said civilians were killed, and Hezbollah threatened to retaliate. The Israeli military declined to comment. Lebanese Health Minister Faraz Abiad, appearing on Al Jazeera television, said exploding pagers across the country injured 2,750 people and killed eight, including a child. The government and hundreds of people were in, were in critical condition. Now, one of the things I think is very important to note is that Hezbollah is similar to the Taliban in the sense that you cannot isolate who's a member of the Taliban and who isn't. The Taliban is basically a integrated part of the Afghan population. And then you have people who are official fighters of it. You have people who are supportive of it, particularly when there's a foreign army invading, people who are kind of tangential to it, but still work with the Taliban because it's the governing body in a lot of areas. It's the same for Hezbollah. And so even if it were true, and it's clearly not, given the death of children and all sorts of people in civilian areas, that the only people injured were, quote unquote, Hezbollah fighters or people associated with Hezbollah, that would still include a lot of people who are not fighters, who work with the governing group or the group that's considered Lebanon's protection from Israel. But clearly it was...
I'll just say, I think, and Gwynwald, a wonderful commentator, this was a massive act of indiscriminate death and devastation. And while they may have figured they were primarily injuring members of Hezbollah who were using these, what they're calling pagers, I suspect were actually cell phones for the purpose of communication, it's doing tremendous damage to Israel's reputation. This was such a grossly immoral, tragic action. It's the kind of thing from which I do not believe Israel can recover. The distrust of Israel in every regard is going to increase. Here we have a report from Common Dreams now, an act of terror. Israel behind pager explosion killed 11, wounded thousands. Each explosion constitutes an indiscriminate attack, argued Heidi Matthews, an associate professor at Osgoode Hall Law School of York University. Several news outlets confirm late Tuesday what was widely suspected: Israel's military and intel services were behind the explosions of pagers recently purchased by the Lebanese political party and military group Hezbollah. The explosion reportedly set off earlier Tuesday by a message that appears as it were from a Hezbollah leadership, killed at least 11, including an 8-year-old girl, and wounded thousands more. I've seen some video. It's horrific. So whether it was pagers or cell phones, and if I'm right, it's got to do with heating up the lithium-ion batteries. They are ubiquitous. They're in virtually every single cell phone. So I presume Israel actually has a capacity to detonate these batteries, and it would require heating them up. Virtually anywhere that's got a cell phone is potentially vulnerable. Very, very bad. There are many, many reports about it. Here's another from RT about the second wave. New wave of explosions hit walkie-talkies in Lebanon. Walkie-talkies used by Hezbollah simultaneously exploded throughout Lebanon Wednesday, in apparent continuation of the alleged Israeli sabotage operation, killed 12 people and wounded thousands on Tuesday. The blasts were first reported by Lebanese media on Wednesday, with the National News Agency claiming that at least three people had been killed. The Al-Hada TV network reported at least 100 had been injured. Lebanese security source told Reuters the explosions affected handheld radios used by Hezbollah members, and took place in Beirut and throughout southern Lebanon, a region controlled by the Pillar military force. At least one of the explosions took place at a funeral procession for four people who had been killed when their pagers exploded on Tuesday. Wow. I'm saying, look, Israel may regard this as a military achievement, but in my opinion, it's a political disaster. Here, for example, is the Daily Mail. What's going to explode next? The fridge, my phone, the scene here in Lebanon are from a horror film. Fleshless faces, eyes hanging out. Dozens dead, thousands hurt. None of us feel safe. Thousands of walkie-talkies, solar panels, and fingerprint recognition devices used by Hezbollah fighters have detonated across Lebanon in the past 2 days, killing 14, wounding hundreds of people, including mourners at a funeral. The second wave of carnage hit a day after thousands of exploding pagers used by the group left almost 3,000 injured and a dozen dead, including civilians and children. Security sources confirmed that handheld radios were purchased by Hezbollah 5 months ago at around the same time as the compromised pagers. Lebanese media has also reported home solar energy systems have blown up in several areas of Beirut. So it maybe it's only certain devices. Maybe they did have special explosive device, added elements. But I'm speculating it can be done with any lithium-ion battery. Meanwhile, the Blaze Media, which is now appearing to me increasingly to be an Israeli propaganda outfit, Israeli-hating Rashibat Talib calls Lebanon Pasher explosion disgusting, and mocking commentators absolutely savage her. But I'm on her side. You taking the side of Hezbollah members is the least surprising news maybe ever. U.S. Representative Rashida Talib of Michigan, not surprisingly, caused Tuesday's jaw-dropping pager explosion across Lebanon, which targeted Hezbollah terrorists. They don't mention here the innocent women and children who have been blown to bits. Disgusting on X. Here's a tweet. Disgusting. About a report, a little girl was killed. Civilians across Lebanon were literally terrorized with pagers exploding in grocery store, barber shops, all sorts of urban spaces, injuring countless innocent people. But the crass mimification of Israeli terrorism is socially accepted in the U.S., meaning support for Israel is all too widespread, though I believe most Americans really very much oppose it. Meanwhile, here's the biggest thing they're not telling you about the exploding pager story. Let's find out what that would be. There's a big part of the story almost no one is covering. I want to discuss. My first thought when I had the story is, who uses pagers in 2024? Anyone else working on that? Honestly, didn't even know anyone was still manufacturing them. But I think it might fit into the part of the story no one's talking about except my friend Health Ranger Mike Adams. Here's the latest. To anyone saying the pagers in Lebanon were outfitted with extra explosives, that's the cover story to make people believe that lithium-ion batteries themselves can't explode. But they do indeed explode quickly, which is exactly why it's illegal to ship. It's illegal to ship lithium-ion battery items by air, because should they catch fire, explode, and bring down aircraft, an even bigger question. Even if you assume your pagers were outfitted with explosive, how do you know your own phone isn't also explosive laden? Have you checked? Would you even know what a 4-gram packet of explosive looked like? Probably not. And I bet you've never even opened your phone enough to check the main circuit board anyway. If you're carrying a phone, you are carrying an explosive device, pure and simple, because of the battery. The question is, who controls the remote trigger? It's not you. It's your government. Let that sink in. You are essentially a non-consenting, government-controlled suicide bomber. And if you happen to venture into some area where they want an explosion to occur, they've got your number. Brilliant, brilliant. Mike Adams is doing some sensational work. That is perfect. Meanwhile, Phil Giraldi talks about...
Attention. President Trump...
talks about intel assassinations and war crimes. This guy is a super good guy. Wonderful in reporting on all these issues. I'm very impressed with him. Meanwhile, we'll be right back.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone, help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors.
Well, here's Judge Napolitano with Phil Giraldi.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. Phil Giraldi joins us now. Phil, a pleasure, my dear friend. I want to talk to you about intelligence, the intel community, assassinations and war crimes, and we will get to that. First, to the latest on Ukraine. When you and I spoke last, having monitored the words of wisdom of Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State of the United States, in the presence of President Zelensky, former President Zelensky, and British Foreign Minister David Lammy, we had every indication that by the end of the week, the United States government and the government of Great Britain would have authorized the Ukrainians to use British and American long-range missiles to strike deep into Russia. Something happened. Something happened that caused an angry President Biden and an embarrassed Prime Minister Starmer to commence their meeting with Biden, admonishing reporters to stop asking him questions and wait until he made his statement. The White House released a brief statement saying there would be no announcement on long-range missiles on Friday. And there still hasn't been one. What do you think happened?
Well, I think this is probably good news. that Joe Biden got cold feet with the election coming up and the idea of maybe going to war with nuclear-armed Russia with those hypersonic missiles that they possess suddenly didn't seem to be a real good idea if you wanted to hold on to the White House. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, this is something they're setting on. There were, as you noted correctly, initial reports that were coming out about the meeting with Starmer and so on and so forth was going to be a celebration of giving Zelensky first of all, the British would give him the missiles and the U.S. would be supporting the action and taking the offensive to Russia. But it didn't happen. So I think that's good news, but I don't think it's a dead issue. I think that there certainly must have been people inside the White House or very close to it, maybe at the Pentagon, who were leaking information to some of the reporters that were reporting what they had been told, that this was a done deal. So I think we shouldn't hold our breath for too long.
So let me tell you where your colleagues stand on this. Colonel Wilkerson and Scott Ritter believe that the Defense Department sidelined Blinken and Sullivan and basically said to the White House, probably in more diplomatic terms than I'm going to describe it now, forget about it. We cannot deal with him if he's going to send something at us that we can't stop. You're going to start a war and we will not be able to finish it and we're not prepared for it. And Biden angrily accepted what they said. Colonel McGregor is a little more subtle in his view on this and believes that Putin's words were so clear, certain, and unambiguous that even Joe Biden decided to pay attention to them. Now, in support of what Scott Ritter and Larry Wilkerson believe, and consistent with your statement, there hasn't been a public statement by Tony Blinken or Jake Sullivan since Friday. Since it was obvious that they were countermanded by the president. Do you think that the DOD told the White House, when Vladimir Putin says something, he means what he says?
Well, I don't know if they quite would have put it that way, because I don't think these people are deep enough thinkers to come out with that kind of formulation. But I do rather suspect that they might have gone to him and speaking in one syllable words, explained to him that this would be catastrophic for the United States. They just might have had enough integrity to do that. And that kind of fits with the other arguments, too. I mean, you know, this is a question of nuance. We don't know exactly what was said. And it looks like it went a certain way, and we're hypothesizing what the reasons might be. But I would still advise caution because we have not had that statement, and we don't have any kind of explicit information yet that's been leaked that would tell us what exactly the line was that was used and how effective it was in terms of making this a dead deal. If it really is a question of, look, they would destroy us, then that's a pretty decisive argument. And for that.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Is it for all the lonely people?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio, and what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
I look at all the lonely people. I look at all the lonely people.
Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for, all the lonely people? Where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong?
Well, turning to domestic politics, what related to international affairs, Trump Jr. and RFK Jr. warn of nuclear war risk. Notice it's coming from the Republicans, the Democrats seem to be very enthusiastic about the idea of going to war with Russia. Washington should stop mistaking Russia's restraint for weakness and open direct talks with Moscow right away. The Republican presidential nominee's son, Donald Trump Jr., with former Democrat Robert F. Kennedy Jr., have said. RFK Jr., the nephew of JFK, endorsed Trump Sr. last month and cited the Russia-Ukraine conflict and its potential to escalate into a nuclear war as one of the main reasons. The U.S. and its allies allowed Ukraine to use their weapons for long-range strikes into Russia. Allowing Ukraine to use them would put the world at great risk of nuclear conflagration, greater risk of nuclear conflagration than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis, Trump and Kennedy wrote in an opinion piece published by The Hill on Tuesday. Good for them. Being responsible citizens and leaders. Meanwhile, get this. 60,000 request tickets for tonight's rally. This was yesterday. Can Trump flip New York? Wow. Reports are starting to come in out of New York. The anticipated Trump rally at the Nassau Coliseum in New York is huge. 60,000 requests for tickets have been logged so far, and crowds have been growing since at least 7 p.m. last night. Thousands show up 7 hours before the doors open for the Trump rally on Long Island. Wow. Meanwhile, breaking. Another attempt on Trump's life was just stopped. This is remarkable, too. Breaking. Reports of a suspicious occurrence near Trump's rally in New York. This is based on very early reports of some type of explosives found in a vehicle. Details are sketchy and information is changing rapidly. Police have found explosives in a parked car near Trump's rally in New York City. A canine dog found it this morning, sweep before the event. Thousands of people are already in the area. This is the third assassination attempt against Trump in 2 months. Breaking, A.J. Huber tweets. Explosive found near Trump rally in Long Island, New York. I dare say they aren't going to stop. They're going to keep going. They're going to keep trying. Meanwhile, this guy, alleged would-be Trump assassin Ryan Rao, this is, of course, the golf course shooter, 58, of Hawaii, echoed Harris and Biden's anti-Trump rhetoric as he backed Democratic candidates. The alleged gunman, who authorities say targeted former President Trump while he golfed in Florida Sunday afternoon, previously declared on social media, democracy is on the ballot this year, and we cannot lose, echoing the anti-Trump rhetoric used by Vice President Kamala Harris and President Biden. Law enforcement has identified the suspect as Ryan Wesley Routh, 58. Routh has a lengthy criminal record from North Carolina, frequently boasted about politics, and exclusively donated to Democrat candidates and causes dating back to 2019. Have no doubt about who this guy was. Meanwhile, Trump greets deputies after arrest a shooter at what seems like one of the most precarious moments of recent memory, when many feel a spiritual darkness is engulfing the world's most powerful and corrupt leaders. Former President Trump remains undeterred. He presses forward with a sense of mission, determined to protect Americans from a ruling class he views as the most dangerous in history. I agree. In a short video posted on X, filmed at Mar-a-Lago, Trump welcomed deputies from the Martin County Sheriff's Office, the very team that apprehended 58-year-old would-be assassin Ryan Routh after an attempt on Trump's life. With a calm and collected demeanor, Trump greeted the officers who played a key role in ensuring his safety. That's good-looking stuff right there, Trump said with his characteristic energy as he entered the room to greet the deputies. That's good-looking human beings, I added, taking hands with each one and thanking them individually. May I say, last night, Donald Trump went on the Greg Gutfeld show, and it was wonderful. Wonderful. He was so calm. He was so cordial. He was so relaxed. He was wonderful interaction with them all. You don't want to miss it. Check it out. Greg Gutfeld last night. Trump was on for the whole show, 1 hour. You don't want to miss that one. Meanwhile, alleged Trump gunman was rejected as a whack job when he tried to volunteer for Ukraine, fighters say. And he does appear to me to be a whack job indeed. Alleged would-be Trump assassin rolled up in Ukraine last year looking to fight the Russians and make an impact, but was quickly rejected and pushed aside after being dubbed a whack job and off by the more serious foreign fighters in the country, several sources involved in the volunteer effort said. While some had interacted with him personally, Others told the Post, this is the New York Post, they knew his type and were not at all surprised by it. A crazy idiot, but no one's really surprised. There are people like that who show up and are desperate to help and be important. One American fine for Ukraine told the Post, and he was just one of those, just on the crazier end of things. Very interesting indeed. He seemed so calm and collected when he was arrested. He obviously expected it. I think he wanted it. Maybe it's his path to glory and fame. Meanwhile, the Secret Service admits the golf course wasn't searched before the Trump assassination attempt. This is New York Post again. They are very, very good. Secret Service agent didn't sweep the outskirts of Donald Trump Florida golf course, where his alleged would-be assassin was hiding, because a former president visit was an off-the-record plan, the embattled agency's acting director admitted. These guys are so sloppy and irresponsible, or else they're deliberately setting him up. It's disgraceful. Brian Wesley Roth, 58, allegedly set up a sniper's nest on the edge of the Trump International West Palm Beach and hid there undetected for nearly 12 hours before Trump 78 teed off on Sunday afternoon. Federal prosecutors said, 12 hours? That's just incredible. Meanwhile, mystery as Trump supporters report odd medical conditions after sitting behind the former president at an Arizona rally. This is from the Daily Mail. Yes, I'm angry, Trump admits. He was furious at the debate, listing the reason why that's a separate issue. Supporters of Donald Trump say he suffered from mysterious eye injuries after sitting behind him at the rally in Tucson last week. At least half a dozen say they were seated on stage behind Trump as a candidate addressed the spiraling cost of living crisis and unveiled a populist new policy promising to end taxes on overtime. But after the event, he became afflicted with a mysterious malady. Some complained of dealing with irritation in their eyes and needed medical attention. Mayra Rodriguez, a former Clinton supporter turned Trump fan and pro-life advocate, said her eyes were burning when she left the rally and headed for the emergency room shortly after getting home from the speech. The emergency room staff, from the triage nurse to the PA, asked, are you sure you didn't get sprayed with something? Your symptoms look like you got sprayed with something. I suspect this was some kind of electromagnetic device that was in the coverage here. I can't say more now, but it's bad, bad, bad. Meanwhile, Elon Musk declares, America is doomed without a red wave in 2024. I got to tell you, I think he's got it right. Elon Musk, the visionary behind Tesla and SpaceX, once again took to Twitter to drop a bombshell. This time he's not talking rockets or electric cars, but politics, in a tweet that's got everyone buzzing. Musk declared that America's on a fast track to doom unless there's a conservative landslide in 2024. Musk has never been shy about his opinions, but this is a new level of urgency. He's seen what happens when leftist policies run amok. High taxes, stifling regulations, and the erosion of personal freedom. Musk knows that innovation thrives in a free market, not under the heavy hand of government control. And let's face it, the current administration policies are more like a comedy of errors than a roadmap to prosperity. Inflation is skyrocketing, energy policies are a disaster, our borders about as secure as a screen door on a submarine. Good stuff. Meanwhile, 60 Minutes is targeting Trump and Harris for an interview, but frankly, 60 Minutes frequently gets things wrong. I would have no confidence in 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes isn't letting the chaos of 4 years ago stop them from trying to snag another high-profile interview with Donald Trump. The network, infamous for its hit-piece style, is gearing up for its quadrennial interview special with the presidential candidates aimed to air on October 7th. This may soon become the last real chance for voters to size up the two candidates side by side before the election. One has to wonder if they'll be ready to handle the truth, which is, of course, that she's a complete airhead. She's a complete moron. And it appears now, I've had several telling me, there are three different Kamala Harrises out there, one of whom made the mistake before a Latino audience of speaking Spanish. Kamala Harris does not speak Spanish. Meanwhile, a suspicious package has been sent to U.S. election officials. Get this. Again from RT. The FBI told U.S. election officials be on the alert after offices in more than a dozen states received suspicious packages since Monday. The items have been delivered in at least 15 states as of Wednesday. Some have prompted evacuations of otherwise disrupted the work of local authorities. None have caused injuries or been confirmed to pose a threat. Some are signed U.S. Traitor Elimination Army. In a statement to the media, FBI spokesperson Kristen Serta said the Bureau is working with our partners to determine how many letters were sent, the individual or individual responsible, and the motive behind the letters. Well, I think the motive behind the letters is to make it appear that election offices are unsafe, so people will be wanting to use mail-in ballots, which are easily manipulated to steal elections. Even third world countries don't use mail-in balloting. Why in the world would the United States? Get this. This error is regrettable. Hundreds of non-citizens registered to vote by Oregon's Department of Motor Vehicles. Officials in Oregon admitted Friday that a data entry mistake registered over 300 non-citizens to vote in the states in 2021, the AB reported. Kevin Glenn, a spokesperson for the Oregon Department of Transportation, said an analysis conducted by the department showed that 306 non-citizens were registered to vote when they applied for driver's licenses. Of those mistakenly registered, two have voted since 2021 in spite of state and federal laws restricting non-citizens from voting, Glenn added, according to the AP. Bad. That's something we do not want. Meanwhile, the Speaker of the House is bringing a CR to the floor with a non-citizen voting prevention attached. Let's hope it should happen. The President Johnson to hold a vote on a six-month budget with a non-citizen voting prevention act attached. Let's see what happens here. House Speaker Mike Johnson announced Tuesday he was moving forward with a chamber-wide vote to stop a government shutdown with a bill attachment to crack down on non-citizen voting. Congress has an immediate obligation to do two things: responsibly fund the federal government and ensure the security of our election, Johnson said in a statement. Because we owe this to our constituents, we will move forward on Wednesday with a vote on the six-month CR with a SAVE Act attached. I urge all of my colleagues to do what the overwhelming majority of the people of this country rightfully demand and deserve: prevent non-American citizens from voting in elections. I suppose then the result of that vote, if it took place, is out there. I'll have to check and see if I can track it down. Meanwhile, the Teamsters are declining to make a presidential endorsement. Teamster member poll backed Trump at 60%. The Teamster Union announced it will not offer an endorsement in the 2024 presidential election, even though its members overwhelmingly support former President Donald Trump. The union said in a release it received few commitments on top Teamster issues from Trump or Vice President Kamala Harris. Nearly 60% of Teamster members who participated in an electronic survey compared Trump, supported Trump compared to 34% for Harris. A survey conducted over the phone found Trump leading 58-31. I just say if Harris had squeaked out with 51%, they would have endorsed her. But here Trump has 60% and they are not. That is bad. Here's a report about polls.
Their polls are also biased, and only 29% of the sample in that poll were self-identified Republicans. And if you follow this kind of stuff, if you look and you go back to 2020, Republicans represented about 36% of the actual vote of the people that came out and turned out in the election. So what we're seeing, unfortunately, in these polls is the media is undersampling Republicans. They're undersampling Trump voters. And when you actually look in the internals, I was just looking at another media poll that had Donald Trump down. Well, in that poll, Donald Trump was getting 20% of the black vote, which is almost three times of what he received back in 2020. And he's basically tied among Hispanic voters.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahi Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
For final stories, a Fed slashes interest rates in final meeting before the election. I presume this is intended to give a benefit to the government, to the Biden, but we'll see how it plays out. It could, of course, stoke inflation. The Federal Reserve cut interest rate by 50 basis points on Wednesday in the final meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee before the November election. the gut was larger than most economists predicted and larger than the usual 25 basis points incentive by which they typically move. It's the first of the Fed in over 4 years since the onset of the pandemic. The cut reflects their concern over recent Labor Department data showing the labor market in a much weaker state than previously thought. I suspect this will contribute to inflation. Anyway, we've got Biden revisiting a 1993 Violence Act, touting new plans amid a policy struggle. It's like a famous hits. Biden recently took a nostalgic trip down memory lane to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the Violence Against Women Act, a piece of legislation he long touted as his own. Back in his Senate days, Biden was the man behind the curtain, crafting the bill that supposedly sent shockwaves of protection through the federal bureaucracy for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. Fast forward 3 decades, he appears he still wants to bask in the glory of the past accomplishment as if they were freshly baked cookies. Here's a third. Governor Newsom signed bill into law banning deep fakes on social media, including obvious parodies. This is pretty bizarre, honestly. I can't imagine what kind of chaos this is going to generate. The new law came in response to a parody video shared by Musk on X that poked fun at Democrat nominee President Kamala Harris. In the AI-generated video, Harris seemingly exposes herself as a stupid and incompetent candidate for president. That's not a deep fake. That's just an actual video of Kamala Harris. I was hired because I'm the ultimate diversity hire. I am both a woman and a person of color, the voiceover state. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both a sexist and a racist. Absolutely right. Clear infringement on the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. But then Gavin Newsom is one more moron the Democrats have put in position to power to destroy the country. Meanwhile, there's a video report, Flint water crisis cover-up makes Watergate look like child's play. Very serious stuff in Flint. We've heard about it forever.
Undocumented immigrants that are the least likely to commit crime.
A San Francisco
Get this.
Kamala Harris let criminal illegal aliens walk. One MS-13 gang member killed a man and his two sons. Kamala Harris is dangerous.
I think that's right. I think she is dangerous. But Michael Moore was pretty good. This is Glenn Grunwald again. Let's see what he's got to say.
Our guest tonight is somebody who has made a name for himself in independent journalism for many years now, going at least back to the Obama administration, where principally he became known for doing extensive
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Authentic news right here on RBN Live. This 19th day of September, 2024, where I take your calls. Delighted the first call. Peter in Los Angeles, join the conversation, my friend.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I wanted to talk a little bit about this horrible, fatal, deadly cyber attack. It's a new level of murderous cyber attack that's really never been done before. It's been going on in Lebanon with the pagers and the walkie-talkies and even some of the heating units and all that. But I wanted to start out by saying, first off, what a completely complex operation that was. And there's so much that we don't know and we'll never know because the media will make this go away. And that is, well, first off, did they enter into the manufacturing process on the floor to get those? Did they interrupt the shipping? Which means they would have had people on the inside. What companies did they use? Was it was it from Taiwan? Was it from Hungary? Were it the batteries themselves that exploded, or was it, you know, 1 or 2 ounces of some explosive? Was the lithium the trigger? There's a whole bunch of things, and then it had to be triggered from an aircraft broadcasting a frequency that made them blow up, flying overhead. But the point is that they're saying pretty universally now. There's 4,000 injuries. That they estimate that 5,000. Pagers and walkie-talkies throughout Lebanon and Syria, and maybe elsewhere that they haven't told us about, were maimed and killed. Maimed many people, children, people driving cars. A walkie-talkie could be a teacher at recess with a walkie-talkie. It could be a fireman or a cop. It could be whatever. Or even a pager. They had no idea who the end users really were going to be. They could hope for it, but they couldn't guarantee it. And they were willing to roll the dice. Like one of them was a child who was killed when the pager went off, and she was handing the pager to her father, and it went off, and she was like five, and killed her. That kind of thing. People driving down the street, whatever it might be, but the level of penetration that this would require is pretty substantial. You're either interrupting a supply chain of some sort of major company, or maybe the management of the company is part of it, right? And that brings me up to a term that I know you've heard called psionym. Let me spell that for everybody out there. I just sent you a couple of things on Psionym just in the last 15 minutes. It's spelled S-A-Y-A-M. Let me see here. I want to get the spelling right here. S-A-Y-A-N-I-M, Psionym. It means helper in Hebrew. And what that means is this: a Psionym is a force multiplier for the Israeli intelligence, that they can go to the United States, for instance, and they can say, "Listen, some Mossad agent, we need to have a, we need to use a car, and maybe there's some Jewish guy in L.A. or wherever it might be, who is like many are more loyal to Israel than they are to the United States, and he owns a rental car thing, and he supplies them with a rental car, or things of that nature." Or the famous Hollywood director Arnon Milchan. Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely. Listening to every word, Peter. I agree. You know, just to intervene briefly, I think it just had to be the lithium-ion batteries that they're able to heat up. Otherwise, it gets way too complicated, way too expensive. The Taiwan company said they did not manufacture, but they give it a license.
We don't know what it was, but they either interrupted on the manufacturing floor, which is a possibility, or in the supply chain. We don't know. We don't even know for sure.
Well, Peter, I'm
implanted 2 ounces of explosive, or was it? We don't know any of that. What we knew was there's something like 5,000 out there, and it took a whole years to get this thing done, in shipping or on the manufacturing floor or wherever. And that's Cyanim. So let me go on with the one famous Cyanim is Arnon Milchan, the producer, Hollywood, big Hollywood producer. He produced Pretty Women with Julia Roberts, and he produced the Power Rangers, and he's a good friend of Robert De Niro's, and they go to the Friends of the IDF fundraisers where they raise $20 million in Hollywood in one night for the IDF, but I'm sure he ducks his taxes here, I'm sure. But nevertheless, what Arnon Milchan was involved with as a Cyanim, as an American citizen with dual passport, was he helped Bibi Netanyahu in the 80s smuggle out Krytons, nuclear triggers, these high-speed electrical triggers that trigger a nuclear warhead. They're extremely restricted. But Milchan even admits it, and I sent you the articles where he does admit it. But that's a Cyanim. So what I want to get to the point is they were willing, whatever company this is, or companies, is anybody going to trust anything out of those companies ever again? Is anybody going to trust any Israeli high-tech equipment ever again? They're willing to sacrifice the companies because those stocks have got to be going down. If they're not, as soon as it's made known, they will go down. But they're willing to sacrifice all that. And I want to make one more principle. When you look at BlackRock and Vanguard and the ownership of so many companies, that they could do this with almost any industry and any company coming right from the top.
Peter, I agree with all that. I agree with all that. I'm just saying my inference would be that's much, much simpler given that these lithium-ion batteries are explosive. They just use them as the, you know, that's why these Tesla cars, they blow up and all that. I mean, you're not allowed to have those batteries on airplanes because they can spontaneously explode. It seemed to me the simplest explanation is they were not manufactured in Taiwan. We've already got an official declaring they simply gave a license to manufacture to a Hungarian firm under their name.
Right, right.
So they didn't go from Taiwan to Hungary. They came out of Hungary. Now, if they built in an additional explosive device that's not normal, that's entirely possible. It just seems to me.
The whole thing is we don't know, Jim. We don't know for sure. And I guarantee you, I'll bet you $100 that we never really find out because the Jewish media will kill it here. They'll kill it.
Peter, I'll tell you why you're wrong. There are going to be experiments here with his lithium ion phones to see if they can be blown up at various frequencies by diligent researchers here in the U.S. I don't mean even the government bothering, but any government ought to investigate to find out if that's a risk they're running and their population is subject to potential terrorist attack by remote control by finding the right frequency to make their phones blow up. I mean, that's my best guess. Sure, I'll take your wager.
Yeah, but again, even going back to that journalist, the FBI took control of his car and smashed him at 80 miles an hour down Highland Boulevard. I was like three blocks from where I lived, and killed him. They've been able to do stuff like that. And we don't hear anything more about that at all. We don't know that they haven't told you that they can take control of planes that way. And if they did have that control, would they tell you? Would that be publicized? Well, if they could blow up a hybrid car or an electrical car or the phone or even the TV in your whatever, would they tell us that? And I don't think that they would. And I think they're going to hide this. But the point is that there are all these guys all over the world, and how pervasive the control that Israel has with their fifth columnists, and that's what Sinem really is a fifth column.
Yeah.
And they own the entire, military industrial complex. They own the whole thing. Just do a Google search. Who's the largest shareholder of any company? And they'll say it'll be BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Goldman Sachs. They own them all.
Yeah.
They own them all. So I'm just bringing out this level of control and this level of treason that this is only partially exposing, and this will go away because they'll want to forget this that they did this,
Peter, this is not going to go away. I don't know why you would think that. This is so horrific. This is so indiscriminate. It's made an indelible impression on the whole world, and you're right. Those firms are never going to be trusted. In fact, the whole Israeli community is now subject to gross distrust. I think it's really been a smack dab loss, just a colossal blunder. They may think militarily they achieved an effect, but it was a pyrrhic victory. The cost is going to be enormous in terms of public condemnation. Peter, this one is not going away.
There's a genocide going on, a full-on genocide, and it's barely covered here, right? Yeah. There was an assassination 2 months ago on Trump that's already in Butler, that's already off the front. Nobody's paying attention to that at all anymore. All this stuff disappears. Hunter's laptop disappears. That Russiagate disappeared as soon as it was uncovered. It had no legs. It'll disappear. This will disappear, too. I promise you.
Okay.
They control the narrative of everything. So that's my comment, Jim. And we'll see. But listen, nobody's talking about it. Full-on genocide. They're still talking 40,000 people, and there hasn't been a bite of meat to get into Gaza for like 8 months, right?
But Peter, let's continue conversing ever so briefly. I do not think this was to deflect attention from Gaza. You can't deflect attention from Gaza. This was to hit Hezbollah. They know Hezbollah is gearing up. Hezbollah is planning to strike. They know they're going to have an Iranian retaliation. This was simply a preemptory strike against Hezbollah. It just had all kinds of collateral.
I'm not saying that it was trying to deflect attention. I'm saying that our media gives no attention to Gaza at all. And this will go away as well because it's a horrible look for the Israelis, and that's who they serve. That's who our media and our government serve. It will go away. I'm not saying it's trying to take attention from Gaza. I'm just saying it's hard to find stuff on Gaza. Away every day.
Peter, what I'm saying is, in my report about this before, they were citing experts who were saying this was intended to deflect attention from Gaza. That may not be your opinion. That was the expert's opinion. I simply think it's wrong. This is a military hit. And from a military view, it's ingenious. But the fact is, it's from a moral point of view, it's horrendous. So there you go. Yeah, clever military people. It's morally despicable. And I'm saying the moral attitude, the realization, the corruption of these people, and their willingness to indiscriminately kill women and children in their efforts to combat Hezbollah. Very similar to the indiscriminate killing of women and children in their efforts to combat Hamas, because they're out to kill all Palestinians. I just think it was
With that completely. And I want to make another point here is that, that you would think that they would use this like completely disrupt the command and control and the communications of all of Hezbollah before an invasion. But they didn't invade. They just did it. It's to no end. They've killed and maimed a bunch of people, many of whom had nothing to do with Hezbollah, I'm sure. To no end, because it was just a tactical blip just to be mean and try to regain a little of their chutzpah, right? Or their little of their puff their chest out a bit. To contrast that with what Hezbollah did when a couple weeks back when they fired one missile and it hit Unit 8200, which is the Israeli NSA, and it killed a bunch of people. The Israelis hushed it up. We don't know exactly how many, but it hit it right on. It only killed Unit 8200 guys. This was totally indiscriminate.
Yes.
This is like shooting a shotgun into a crowd.
Right.
And look at the difference in morality between those two.
Yeah.
But that was Unit 8200's response. Since they got their prestige was lowered, they had to get it back. So let's kill and maim 5,000 people indiscriminately in Lebanon and Syria. And maybe we'll get some and maybe we won't. But how is that any different from terror bombing Gaza or torture or rape or any of the stuff that they do every day?
Yeah. Good points, Peter. All of them. Excellent. A final thought?
Well, again, look at the ownership of all these companies that are owned by BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street and Goldman Sachs, which is all Jewish controlled. And look at the ownership and see just how deeply penetrated we are. And can we really trust them?
Well, we
apparently,
know we can't. We know we can't.
The shareholders mean nothing. What's good for Israel and the Jews means much more than the shareholders that they're absolutely legally responsible for.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
Whatever.
Great, Peter. Good stuff. Thank you. Wonderful call. Right. Thank you. JP in Chicago, join the conversation, JP.
On the mark. Hear me, Jim?
Go ahead.
See, 1, 2. Yeah, I agree with 90% of what he said. But on the technical end, you know, I did have a computer shop for 10 years. I've done over a million jobs in terms of circuit boards, networks, routers, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So what I believe, you know, my hypothesis on this is that the pager system had a 3-beat, 5-second delay. So that was enough to get the people to look at it and bring it up to their face. It must have had a shape charge. So I'm guessing a Symtec with lithium overcharge. So the 5-second delay would overcharge lithium, and then you put a little shape charge in front of that, maybe the size of a chip on a credit card, you know what I mean? And that would make it blow face forward, because that's what they wanted with that 5-second delay. And this is how I would design it. If I had a circuit board, I would have a separate wire running to the shape charge. And then I would have an overhead signal that would activate that shape charge, and then all at once, they would all explode. That's how I would do it.
So you're telling me, JP, it was not just a battery, as I've surmised, but they actually manufactured it with a little explosive chip in it, just as you described. That makes eminent sense, and I defer to you and Peter. Peter suggested we won't know, but I think you got it. I think you've got it. These had to be manufactured then. If the lithium battery alone wouldn't do the job, and I take it you're implying it would not.
Well, based on the information I'm getting, the new intelligence, the 5-second delay, there must have been a surge. There could have been a surge on the battery, but in order to get them to look at it and beep it, and they all got facial injuries, and it was shape charged. There was some WikiLeaks a while back. I won't get into the intelligence agency, but Amazon products, if you order something, it would get dropped off somewhere in Colorado, and they would insert things in that device, and then you get it to your house later, okay? Mm. So I believe what happened, my theory, is they intercepted the delivery. They inserted what they wanted to put. They put the secret command in there, which would be a certain frequency, a radio frequency perhaps, a command, maybe a six-digit command, and that would activate the auxiliary program, and the auxiliary program would basically ignite the battery. So together, the battery would be an explosive charge, but if you put some Synthex or some high explosive charge based on the battery, you could do much more effect. Now, that's stand how by. I would do it.
Stand by.
I'm an evil scientist.
I want you to stay. Hang on. We'll be right back with JP.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind. I'll open up the door.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Rasayana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
JP, I love having your technical competence applied to this problem. I suspect you got it right, which means they were specially manufactured to be explosive devices to wreak the kind of horrific damage, blowing out people's faces. I mean, that's so disgusting. But it's exactly what you might expect from the IDF. I mean, they're doing this kind of atrocious behavior all the time.
Horrible. And then in Ukraine, I mean, I got some bad news, and I hate to predict World War III, but I believe the tactical nuke 200 miles west of Moscow was World War III.
You're saying what is
the attack on the tactical nuke that hit? It was a tactical nuke that hit up in northern Russia. And what happened is, this is what happened.
It was a tactical nuke that took out the arms depot?
It had to be, Jim, because I as the research I looked at, there was a 2.8 earthquake, 2.8 megahertz earthquake. They believe it was a 30 kiloton non-radiation bomb. It went in there stealth. It had to go because all the research I've been doing on Russia's air defense is the best in the world. It had to be a stealth cruise missile. That's the only way they could have done this. And there was a 4 to 5 mile fire radius. Now, when I looked at it, it was a military base. I was wrong. I thought it was a production place, but it was a depot and a military base, and they're all hardened facilities spaced out, like, 200 meters apiece.
Yeah.
And that fireball that went up together with the earthquake, it must have been a 30 kiloton nuclear bomb.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Okay.
And if that's true,
all bets are off.
We're at World War III.
All bets are off. You're right.
Yep. I'm sorry.
I figure the size of the retaliation. JP, I'm very distraught to hear this, but it's the sort of thing I've been worried about forever. And why I encourage us all to spend as much time with the people we love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. It sounds as though that might be very little time indeed, JP. I'm glad you're filling us in on this, because you're sure as hell not hearing it in the mainstream.
No. You go to Military Summary Channel. There's a lot of guys out there that show this. It's all over the internet. I have multiple sources. It was an earthquake, 2.8 megahertz.
Okay.
There was a fireball that went up. You look at that blast, it looks like a tactical nuke. And Jim, I did a remote view. Now, I'm Army trained, 10 years, Army Special Forces training of remote viewing. And it's a call. They call us heretics. But I'm not like Little Nemo with the dome. I believe we are on a planet spinning through around a black hole. God. That's my theory.
What nonsense. But, I'm glad you watched it. I mean, I can't believe. And, he must have made 100 false claims. I mean, talking about the Foucault pendulum, he was claiming that they have to push it around and manipulate, and they admit it. That's just a crock. I mean, he was making those kinds of false claims. I mean, he was accusing others of lying, of the scientific community of lying. Well, there was a liar up there, but I'm telling you, it's not the scientific community, and it sure as hell is not me.
Well, I'll tell you, remote viewing was started in 1972. It was a multi-million-dollar project picked up by Army Intelligence and CIA, and it wasn't killed until the Clintons came along. So go figure. Now we know about Clintons. You wonder why they killed it, because they had a lot of skeletons in their closet. But remote viewing works. It's a real science. It's a cult. People call us mystics, whatever, heretics. But I'm telling you, I called this out 5 years ago, and I got a video on my JP Watchman channel that talks about this specific subject. It's called World War III Remote View. And I called this out 5 years ago. A tactical nuke on Russian territory would spark and ignite World War III. And I think we're there, Jim. I'm sorry.
Believe me, if that's what happened, I agree. We are there. And the Russians are just deciding exactly how they're going to do this. But they cannot let it stand. That's just shocking. Shocking. You think when Putin surrounded the UK with 3 nuclear subs and declared the targets he was going to take out if they use a storm shadow missiles. That, I think, is what caused, the calling it off, where they were going to congratulate. But that this nuke went through anyway. I'm sure it's Zelensky. I mean, he's a scoundrel, absolute scoundrel.
And they had to have stealth technology and low observable.
Yeah.
The Russian, they have to ask 500, 500. They're the best. I mean, they've been knocking down stuff left and right. So in order to get through, it had to use satellite technology for the GPS. And I believe Bauer and the Rothschilds, they're trying to spark World War III. And I think they did it.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. I think they did it.
Well, it sounds to me like you got it right. I mean, I'm not. JP, great call. Great call, friend. Great call.
That boss.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Minutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hempaste.com/RBA. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBA.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Our next caller, Paul in New Jersey. Paul, join the conversation. Welcome back.
Hello, Mr. Fetzer. Now, Mr. Fetzer, concerning the Haitian issue in Springfield, Ohio, to me it's clearly a racial issue, because if the migrants were from the Swedish bikini team, only ugly women would complain. Now, as for who is supporting the Haitians, we need to remember that Haiti, according to Wikipedia, is 65.9% Catholic. And the Pope, we should remember this, he's on video washing the feet of black probably migrants somewhere, and kissing the feet of black people in public. You know, it's a very weird religious thing they do there when he washes feet and kisses them.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
So he's got a financial incentive to bring in Catholic migrants, because as is, a lot of Catholics are just leaving because of, you know, it's just not rational, and they're switching to becoming evangelical Protestants.
Paul, your connection is bad. You're fading in and out. I don't know if there's any way to improve it.
I'll try to do my best. So anyway, so if the pews are empty in the United States and they're full in Haiti, and the wages are low in Haiti, can bring those parishioners up to America where they make more money and they donate more money to the Catholic Church. So they have a financial interest in this. And if you notice, recently, the Pope said that not welcoming migrants is a grave sin.
The hell with that.
The Guardian UK.
He may say that. I say to hell with that. To hell with that.
Yeah, now, get this. From a Springfield News Sun, which is a magazine in Springfield, from a news item from January 2024, it's called Catholic Charity Center to Help City's Haitian Population with Immigration Jobs. And so they opened a facility there. It's on 448 East High Street. And they are providing aid and assistance in getting these people established and lining them up with jobs. And this is led by the CEO, Tony Stieritz. And get this. That guy pulls in $160,000 a year. I looked him up. Okay, so we always point the finger at the Jews for being behind promoting diversity, but we need to remember the Catholics are in on it too. You know what I mean? Because their religious services are so boring, people are leaving. And so they'll take anybody. They'll take foreigners to fill up their pews in America. And then while they're in America, they'll make higher wages, and that's higher donations to the Catholic Church.
Wow. Paul, that's an angle none of us had thought of before. Very ingenious of you to sort this out as a possible explanation for the Pope's enthusiasm about mass migration. Let's have mass migration to the Vatican. Let him take 100,000 Haitians. I'd say he needs to practice what he preaches. The hypocrisy is just overwhelming, Paul. It is grotesque.
Yes, now there's an archbishop down in Florida named Archbishop Wensky. He said, Haitians have come to work. They've come to succeed. They'll go where the jobs are. And this cardinal, he's also taking the Catholic Haitians and finding them jobs up in Springfield, Ohio. And that's what they're doing. They use the immediate migration hub like Miami, because they first come in from the boats to Miami. And then from Miami, they'll ship them up where the jobs are to replace white people, and the factories love it because then they can pay lower wages. So we can't just blame the Jews alone for this.
Good, Paul. I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Very, very good, Paul. Give us a final thought.
No, that's it. I mean, what can you do about it? The only thing that can happen is Catholic parishioners protest within their churches or walk out. On that note, sir.
I like it. Very, very good. Thank you, Paul. Great call. Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. Appreciate what Peter and JP had said. And let's not forget, the Israelis have been stirring up Lebanon at least since the 70s, if not before. The 241 Marines that died in early 1983.
Yeah, the barracks bombing.
That was explosives that the United States gave Israel, and Israel gave to the people. And the Israelis had, you know, they had intel on that truck, and they were very vague what they passed on to the United States. And those Marines had only been there a couple of months.
Yeah, I regard that as
241.
Yeah, I regard that as an Israeli op, and it may have even been a small nuke too. I've heard that report as well. Bad, very bad.
Well, and you know, the thankfully the people that were on the USS Liberty have been vocal, because the Israelis were caught red-handed on that. But
yes,
you know, to those poor parents and loved ones of those Marines. And I want to get back to the thing about the packages going to the voting places you talked about. Anybody who's had to track a package, and I learned this because I've had a couple I've had to track. Okay, when it goes to the it gets assigned that tracking number wherever it originates at, and then when it gets to, like mine going to Wichita, and it gets there, it's scanned. When it leaves there, it's scanned. So every place is scanned. So they could track those. So they're not, you know, I smell a rat.
Good.
Personally.
Right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We should be able to track it right to the source. Exactly.
So the other thing I wanted to comment on is, you know, the deal that Mike Johnson's trying to get passed, and the rhinos won't support it.
Yeah, the SAVE
Act. See, the motor voter bill is the reason that is happening, because they're giving these people driver's licenses, and that's how they're getting on the list. Well, you know, Ralph Winterrude, he came across a something that was published in the American Law Review in 1997, and that motor voter bill was passed in 1993. And it was a opinion that said that basically, there are no local and state elections because everybody is registered as a U.S. citizen that is registered under the motor voter bill.
Yeah.
And so nobody's voting. So, but and maybe that plays into this. I don't know. But
here's a report on it, by the way. House rejects GOP plan to extend government funding, sending Johnson back to the drawing board. The House rejected Speaker Johnson's plan to keep the government funded on Wednesday, with a small group of Republicans joining most Democrats to oppose the measure. And of course, they're opposing it because it asks people to show that they're citizens in order to vote, and sending lawmakers scrambling for a backup plan with less than 2 weeks before a government shutdown. Let the government shut down. The legislation.
I agree.
Yeah. The legislation, which would fund the government through March 28, 2024, fell short by a vote of 202 in favor to 220 opposed. 14 Republicans joined all but 3 Democrats to oppose the bill. So if you got those 14, you'd have 216 and subtract 14, it would have passed. It would have passed, but for the 14, that's just disgusting. The voting portion of legislation, known as the SAVE Act, would require proof of citizenship to vote. Yeah, go ahead.
Some of those people that are voting against it, those Republicans, are probably people that, you know, want a lot of these programs cut out. Because just like all these people that are getting these illegals that are coming in and getting all this money, I mean, that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah,
I mean,
I couldn't agree more.
That's part of the inflation problem. They're putting so much of this money. Anyway, that's all I got.
That's good. Okay. That's all good stuff. Super. I'm really glad you called. Excellent, Sherry. Thank you. Call again.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Chris in Virginia. Chris, join the conversation.
Yeah, hey, man. Yes, sir. I'm not a nuclear engineer expert, so, but I don't think that was a nuclear bomb. But that's just my opinion. But I saw the blast. Anyway, I won't go into that. But I am.
Tell me more about your impression about the bomb that you think it was not. Yeah, just any more about it.
Because the only clip of that bomb, whatever it was, when it went off, everybody's seen it. It happened at night, right? And you saw what looked like a mushroom cloud. It sure looked pretty nasty. But there's always a bright, blinding flash of light with any nuclear device. And it would be all over the news everywhere would know this. And plus, there'd be radiation signatures.
Yeah,
more devastation. Anything that was as big as Little Boy or Nagasaki or Hiroshima would have leveled. It would have burnt the grass in the film of the picture.
Now, of course, it was a depot with explosives, so, you know, may have been the combination. I'm looking at images of it here now. Ukraine drone attack, Russian ammo depot. Russian ammo depot, 1.8 kiloton blast, maybe the singlest, biggest event in the war. Ukraine drone strikes a major military depot in a Russian town. Satellite image show aftermath of devastating drone strike. Tell us more.
Let's say this. Let's not disagree about if it was a bomb or not, and let's agree that it was so massive and devastating that it certainly will provoke a response. That I was chilled to the bone when I saw it. So that we can all agree on. That yes, it could be World War III started from that provocation, which wasn't just some little bomb on a drone.
So, yeah.
But what I will say, can I tell you though, I am an expert in electronics because I've been doing electronics for 24 years. I'm working on a power supply right now in a restaurant, replacing a camera power supply in a restaurant right now.
Yeah.
I stepped outside, but in my experience, what that looks like to me, because I agree, I think your instinct is correct about being too complicated to go back into the supply chain and try to mess with it that way. I think this was a directed energy weapon, could have been microwave. They figured out what frequency or what some type of radiation directed in an area to basically ignite any lithium ion battery that was in that area. And some people will say, well, how come they didn't all go off? Well, because you have something called shielding. We all know about shielding. And if something just happened to be, if the cell phone just happened to be on the other side of something that was shielded for you, well, you got lucky.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like in the cell phone shop, I think it was a directed energy weapon. The military knows how to ignite lithium ion batteries from a distance now. And I guarantee you, we know how to do it too. That's my opinion on that.
How powerful are those little batteries? I think they would explain the damage from what I've seen, and some of this damage is just bad.
We've seen it. We've seen how horrible these lithium-ion batteries are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously. It's a burn, damage from a burn. That's a lot of times like it's like a Roman candle.
So why did we turn to lithium ion batteries in the first place? I mean, when was it introduced?
I'll tell you why. Because let's say around 2003, 2004, I've been doing electronics for a long time, so I've always dealt with power equipment, power tools, cordless power tools. They used to be nickel cadmium. You remember there was a different kind of battery in your drill, right?
Yeah.
And then right around 2003, 2004, you know, I worked in prisons where I had to drill holes, like, in places where there was no electricity, so I had to have battery. Well, I remember when the lithium ion battery came out for drills, because all of a sudden you could drill a one-inch hole with one battery and put a sleeve through it to run some cable through a wall. And that was around 2004. That's right around when they came out. And I'll tell you why, because the reason why did we use them? We didn't know how dangerous they were at first, and they were just so doggone cool, and they lasted so long, and they were just awesome batteries. So I think we kind of just didn't see the danger of them at first.
Very good.
Just human nature.
Very good.
One more thing. Can I say one more thing?
Sure. Go ahead, Chris.
What I really was going to call about was what I really was going to call about was the Trump thing with the chemical thing with the people standing next to him.
Right. Yeah. Tell me.
I don't know what that was. My main point was going to be whatever it is, my opinion, and if I really hate to have this opinion, I think they're going to kill him. I think they're going to kill him. And I think after that, I don't know what happens, but there's nobody left.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
If they kill Trump, all hell is going to break out in this country, and they're going to be lot of dead Democrats. I don't think they realize what the hell they could unleash here.
Because if Hillary Clinton is getting on TV and saying misinformation, and they're going to lock you up. I'm sorry. That's it. She said it all. She needs to be locked up now. Because she's going to try
and execute it decades ago.
Right. So, I agree with you. I hate to say it, but we're going to have to, I'm not going to wish violence or call for violence. I'm going to call for all of us to defend ourselves. We have the damn right to.
Yes.
All right.
I said many times, you got to prepare to defend yourself because the police aren't going to be there to do it for you. You got to obtain weapons, learn how to use them, stock up. You got to be ready. You got to lock and load. Chris, you made a wonderful call. I'm really, really pleased. I look forward to future. Thanks for this. You got final thought? Want to add to the final thought?
No.
You got it.
Yes, sir.
Good.
God bless America. God bless America. I hope we make it.
I hope we make it too, Chris. You're right. Tom, welcome back. As always, Tom.
Yeah, good day. A lot of good calls. Good day, Jim. I just want everybody to know on RBN, first of all, you got to remember these Haitians, basically, they're Catholic nation. I don't know about that. There are a lot of them are in the voodoo. So just remember that. As far as this Argentinian Pope wanting all these illegals, why don't we ship all these illegals over to Argentina? Why aren't all these Venezuelans and all these Haitians going to Argentina, Paul?
Right.
Why are they coming to the United States of America? They should be going over to Argentina where they speak Spanish. Okay? They don't need to be coming here. The Pope is an Argentinian.
Just keep them in Venezuela and Haiti. To hell with that. Get them back where they came from.
Or send them back over to Argentina. The Pope is he'll be out of there soon anyway. Let him go to Argentina. But here's the main reason I called your show. And the last caller is right. You got to say a prayer for Donald Trump, like Joe says in a lot of chants. You got to say a prayer for Donald Trump. But listen, Matt Gaetz, you got United States Congress people right now, Jim. It's all over the news. Have you been talking about what's happened with Matt Gaetz today in Florida?
No, tell us.
There's five, according to Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's five hit teams put in place to take Donald Trump out, but they caught wind of it. So now, what your last caller is saying, I'm going to make it perfectly clear. And I hope everybody in RBN understands this. If any one more hair gets hurt on Donald Trump, it'll be an all-out revolution. There'll be probably millions of Democrats getting murdered. Okay.
Yes.
We will be. Yeah. There'll be a lot of people dying. There'll be a tremendous amount of people. It'll be worse. I think it'll end up worse than Nazi Germany in a lot of ways because the people will be exposing the right wing of guys like Elon Musk. They're not going to tolerate that kind of nonsense. Okay, you got a lot of other billionaires, that's not Elon Musk, that are going to defend guys like Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is a patriot. And he's a man of honor in my book. I don't care. I don't want to hear about how well it's sexual innuendo.
No,
I don't care about
that. No argument, Tom. You're absolutely right.
His wife is a Christian, ladies and gentlemen. Melania is a full-blown Christian. And Barron Trump has been raised to be a full-blown Christian. And so is Don, and so is Eric, and so is even the other one who turned Jewish. They were all raised Christian by their mother, the original wife of Donald Trump. She was a very Christian woman. I'm tired of hearing about Donald Trump this, doing it. Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump, was a Christian. Now, mother was definitely a Christian. She's Scottish.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm tired of hearing about their Jews and all that nonsense. Look, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew for Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm a Jew for Jesus. Okay?
Love it.
Don't tell no rabbi's going to tell me anything. I'm an anti-Semite because I'm going to tell them I'm a Jew for Jesus. I'm not a Pharisee. Okay?
Love it.
It's fair.
Love it.
You got congressmen in the United States Congress saying you're trying to kill Donald Trump. You've got this illegal invasion of our country. Cities that should be, I told you, and I tell everybody, why everybody got the balls like I do, call their congresspeople every day, I gave out the number, and tell every one of these illegal aliens to be shipped into a blue state. Ship them to Delaware, ship them to Maryland, ship them to Massachusetts with Pocahontas. Get rid of all these illegals out of red states, and we won't have a problem with this. Take those areas and make them sanctuary. You want a sanctuary state? We'll give you Delaware. Joe Biden and Jill Biden, who you know, Jill Biden still got an itch. That's why she was making out with Kamala Harris's husband, the schmuck. She was a lot good with him. Look it up.
Very weird.
It's the weirdest thing. It is very weird, Jim. But I want Paul to know this. I live in South Florida, Paul. And since 1987, I can tell you, these Haitians have been pulling voodoo like you wouldn't believe. And the Cubanos, they were doing Santeria. Look it up. It's all over. It's been going on. What do you think Fidel Castro did in 1981, Jim? Why Ronald
he
Reagan
sent
wanted
him all
to land
over here. He sent him over here, the Muriel Boatlift.
He flushed the toilet. And we had 8,000 murders in 1982. You ever heard of the movie Scarface, ladies and gentlemen? That movie wasn't too far off in a lot of ways. A little fictitious in some areas. But we've had, I remember in 1982, you can look up the statistics, Jim, and there was murders that went unresolved. They wouldn't report. But I remember it was close to over 7,000 murders in that year. I don't know if people remember this, Jim. Miami, Florida, before the crackhead Marion Barry in Washington, D.C., was the number murder capital of the United States. Dade County, Miami, Florida, was the murder capital of the United States for 4 years running. And around 1987, 88, 89, it was Washington, D.C. that Donald Trump says we have to clean it up. And I'm going to leave you with a thought, Jim. If you ever go to YouTube tomorrow, if you could, Jim, please go to YouTube and look at how beautiful Moscow is, the city, and compare it to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Compare the city of Moscow to Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, on YouTube, and then call in tomorrow and tell me what you think.
Tom, you're right. You're right. Great call. Great call.
In D.C.
Tom.
Because of the crime.
Tom, thank you. I'm going to try and squeeze Jerry in here from Chicago. Jerry, you only got a minute or two. Go for it, Jerry.
Oh, wow. I've been trying to call in for 3 weeks. Thank you, Dr. Fetzer, for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to touch on what your caller from New Jersey was saying about the Catholic Church. You know, it's 100% right. I dumped the Catholic Church one night when I watched the Holy Name Cathedral Midnight Mass in Chicago. And I watched for 25 minutes before they finally got to the altar, and they weren't wearing sackcloth or sandals. This, they had gold and they had silk and everything else like that. And the other thing was I wanted to mention was I was an altar boy, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah.
And it was the same reading for, two readings, and then you get the gospel. It was the same thing year after year after year, 1 year later on the date. Thank you much for taking my call. Good day.
Jerry, you call in early. Miles, call in early tomorrow. I'll get you both on. Thank you for calling. Everyone, you heard the news. Anyway, you got it. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And support RBS. I want somebody to love.